WMMR in Philadelphia. I'm Pierre Robert. The music of our guests this afternoon, who hail from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and who formed in 2006. Interestingly enough, though, they began to get noticed, kind of like Jimi Hendrix did when they moved to London. Lincoln, who was their guitar player at the time, was actually even only 16 years old. They released a self-titled record in June of 2008 in the UK and in April of 2009 here in the States. Relentless touring that followed from the smallest to the largest venues. Among those large ones, Lollapalooza, Outside Lands in San Francisco. They played Bonnaroo, among many, many others, and firmly established their presence here on a national level. The second record was Thank You, Happy Birthday. It arrived in January of 2011, and touring for this album also included Coachella and Glastonbury and a very coveted opening spot for the Foo Fighters. 2011 was also the year that they earned the top spot in Rolling Stone's Reader's Poll, the best new artist of 2011, which was ironic because they formed in 2006. Their third record was Melophobia. It means fear of music. It came out in October of 2013. And that brings us to the latest record, Tell Me I'm Pretty. It arrived December 18th of 2015, produced by Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. They are on tour now in support of that record in North America, and they've arrived in Philly to play this evening at the beautiful Outdoor Man Music Center. Alongside them will be Portugal the Man and Broncho. Some tickets remain if you'd like to go this evening. They have been here in these studios and played for us before, but a great pleasure to welcome back to Philly and to MMR, Cage the Elephant. Good to have you guys.
Hi.
Hi. So, you know, when we talk about venues, it's an interesting thing because you have seen the largest and the smallest, and I'd be curious, a quick glance of what you think are the most memorable, it could be awful or great, small and large ones that you've encountered along the run.
Most memorable? The first one that comes to mind is Lollapalooza, Brazil. It was kind of like the catalyst for the whole snowball thing of Melophobia, but it was incredible. The audience was insane. So,
and small. I mean, the dankiest, smallest place you've ever.
The smallest. When we first moved to England, we like thought we were gonna go over there and change the world or whatever. But we ended up only playing to bartenders. The tiniest little pubs that were like 500 years old.
But they had that accent, so that made something, right? Because
totally.
All the English bands had that accent. You know, places I think are memorable as you continue, because the big indoor arenas, they all pretty much look the same. You might not know what town you're in, but where you're playing tonight, I don't think you've been in this town before, and it's nestled in the heart of Fairmount Park, which is, I think, the second largest city park in the United States, and it's called the Mann Music Center. It's just this lovely setting. The orchestra plays there. All the big summer shows used to take place there, and some still do, but it's a really lovely setting. So I think and we've got a lovely spring day, and in the East, we covet those lovely days. I don't know how it was in Bowling Green in terms of temperatures and seasons and such, but this is a very coveted time of year just for the beauty that exists, and where you're playing is lovely tonight.
Well, we're glad to be here. Actually, Nick is from here.
Okay, right.
Our guitar player. And
where are you from? What part of town, Nick?
I grew up in Westchester, South Philly and North Philly.
Cool.
I lived in Kensington.
Kensington! Excellent! Very cool. Cool.
But we played here with the Black Keys last year. Where did we play?
The Wells Fargo.
That was great. That was one of the best shows of the whole tour.
I suspect you have pockets around the country and now around the world that just, you know, you're going into that town and you're going to get that kind of reaction. But this is one of those. The city embraces folks. They really do. And artists will notice it. It's not just, hey, great to be here in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Albuquerque. But I mean, they really, artists will comment on it on a regular basis.
Oh, it's a rowdy crowd.
Now, you also have this thing I was reading about. It's this destination and tour stop thing where fans can get, if they sign up for, a customized Spotify playlist of the lineup, who's on the bill. And that's timed out, if I understand it correctly, to that fan's driving time from their home to the gig. Is that
yes.
About right?
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little more, Matt?
I would love to, but I don't know much about it.
Okay.
Just being honest here.
Oh, no, I like that. Honesty is best. Well, it sounds like a nice promotional tool that was set up by some nice promotional record company person.
Yeah.
So that the fan could sign up for it and get some of the songs and somehow timed out from wherever they live to the Mann Music Center. if you signed up for that. And apparently you get it coming back after the show as well.
Sounds pretty cool.
It does sound cool, I think. I think it's nice. So I want to get on to that that tour of the Thank You Happy Birthday tour, because you've had so many interesting experiences on the road, but you're opening for the Foo Fighters, and Jared has an appendicitis attack and cannot play, and this other guy decides to step in and fill in on the drums for a while. What was that guy's name? Smith. John Smith.
Yes, John Smith. He was so good.
He was a great, great drummer.
No, Dave Grohl actually stepped in and played drums with us, which was crazy. It was like bittersweet because Jared's in the hospital, like on his deathbed, and we're all like, sick, Dave Grohl's playing drums for us.
How many shows did it go on for?
I think he played three or four shows with us.
Did he offer it? Did you guys go to
like,
him?
Well, Jared had like stomach pains all night long, or like, I don't know, maybe ate some bad potatoes or something. Anyway, so we got a phone call at like 2 o'clock in the morning saying that Jared had been rushed to the hospital. And the next day we're frantically, you know, looking to see what we're going to do to either cancel the rest of the tour or figure something out. And so our drum tech was like trying to learn the parts and stuff. And actually he played that night. We made him play in his underwear, which was pretty fun. But got a call from Dave that day, and he was like, "So I heard you need a drummer." Like, yeah, tell me more. So, anyways, it was funny too because the whole time we were playing the show, we didn't even look at the audience. We're just like staring at Dave the whole time.
That's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Did he play all right, or was he? Did he kind of suck?
Incredible. Yeah, he was awesome. He broke the snare in like the first two songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I think it was Brad actually that approached Dan Auerbach, if I understand correctly, in a slightly inebriated condition, saying, "Hey, you got to hear these songs," which came out to be the latest album. Is that an accurate statement?
I think color was added to that for. All right. But we just became really good friends when we were supporting them for the Brothers tour, and then toured with them again while they were supporting Turn Blue. And on one of the days off, we went over to Dan's hotel and we're just sharing musical ideas. And that's kind of how it came about, very naturally.
So cool. And he brought a presence that, among other things, I understand he's not a fan of several vocal takes. So where, Matt, you might have said, "Oh, I hear something a little off in that." He would go, "No, let's leave it."
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it drove me freaking crazy.
Really?
It's like, no, but I think I can do better, I promise. I think he's got his approach is very reactionary. He's just trying to keep you from self-sabotaging, and he kept a lot of life in the tracks, very raw.
It's just a great record. It's Cage the Elephant, Tell Me I'm Pretty. I want to ask you about some of the album artwork, but would you do a song for us?
Yes, we will.
Cool.
This is Come a Little Closer, actually.
Okay, cool.
Time shakes, found you at the water. At first you were my father, now I love you like a brother. Earthquakes shake the dust behind you. This world at times will blind you. Still I know I see you there. Come a little closer than you see. Come on, come on, come on. Things ain't always what they seem to be. Come on, come on, come on. Do you understand the things that you've been seeing? Come on, come on, come on. Do you understand the things that you've been dreaming? Come a little closer than you see. Heartbreak. The heavy words upon your shoulders. Will we burn or not just smolder? Somehow I know I'll find you there. Ooh, you wanna see if you can change it. Change it. Still I know I see you there. Come a little closer than you see. Come on, come on, come on. Things
things that you can see, yeah. Come on, come on, come on. Do you understand the things that you're dreaming? Come a little closer than you see. Come a little closer than you see. Stand alone now, and in the evening the sun sank. Tomorrow it will rise. Time flies by. They all sang along.
Music of Cage the Elephant on 93.3 WMMR. And they are at the Mann Music Center this evening. A few tickets remain if you'd like to go. A beautiful place to see a show. And they're here with us now. The latest album is Tell Me I'm Pretty. And it's a really cool thing where you can take a moment and go back in your history. And I read a great article in Rolling Stone, the feature that was done on you guys in January, where they took you, Matt and Brad, back to Bowling Green. And I gather you hadn't, first of all, been there in a while. Is that accurate?
Not to a lot of the places that we went to.
Yeah. So it was wild because they took you back, I think, to the apartment complex where you used to grow up at, and you were pointing up where we lived in that building. And the details that one remembers about one's childhood always fascinates me. And in your particular case, you remembered the green shag carpet the Lucky Charms or something with the marshmallows that you would actually remember eating.
Little treasures.
Yeah. So you would, as a child, scrounge around and in the green shag carpet. For those who are really young and don't know what shag carpet was, it was a very thick form of carpeting, but you could always find things in it, including marshmallows from your Lucky Charms.
Oh, a penny. Ooh, a marshmallow.
Yes.
I think I'll eat this marshmallow.
But I just find it fascinating that you remember that detail.
Yeah, that is one of my fondest memories.
And then there was the house that you guys lived in with your girlfriends. Where was that located?
On Park Street.
Yeah. And the style of writing that the article described is somewhat similar to what you do. You'd get an idea and each would call to each other or text to each other for a song.
Well, the funny thing was in the house, it was actually like one house that was divided into two apartments. So there was a door that if you wanted to, you could walk right into each other's house. And so Brad would just run downstairs and knock on that door and I'd open it and we'd like work on something, or I'd run upstairs. And Tish lived right across the street too. So it was like, it was pretty cool time.
The kids though were not terribly, kind, as children often can be, just downright mean. But because you guys weren't from the nice section of Bowling Green, I've not been there, so I don't know what the nice section even is. But you got called poor kids a lot, and you got razzed a lot, and it really stung. And some have wondered if In One Ear has to do with referencing those folks all these years later and going, you know, we did okay, thank you very much.
That was a new set of people who stung us, but it's all the same spirit, I think.
But do you remember those days with, you know, with pain or with, you know, looking back like it was a surreal other time? Because going back there to one's hometown, I've done it myself, and it can often be very surreal.
Yeah, I think that it's really, there's like that old saying, there's nothing like a poor Christmas. So when we were kids, it was, I mean, I have really fond memories of it. I mean, also, I try not to think about the bad things, so I don't really remember those that well. But yeah, no, I have pretty fond memories of the past.
And there was a place called Spencer's Coffee House on Central Square, and that's where one of your early bands called Perfect Confusion would play, correct?
Oh, no.
Welcome to This Is Your
the
Life.
The greatest band name of all time.
I think it fits.
Perfect Confusion.
It's how I live every day, personally, but and I don't even do drugs anymore. But, I mean, Perfect Confusion seems like a perfect name to me for a band, but is it not true that you guys would play there for long stretches of time?
Oh, yeah, we definitely did. Yeah. That was where we first started playing shows, actually. So, and also like the whole like thing of just having friends that played in bands as well and pushing each other and stuff like that.
They said that you would. I guess it was Brad that said in that same article that you would. That's where you first learned the art because you're sitting here in an acoustic fashion. But when you're on stage, you're a wild man, and that's where you first started breaking ribs and and jumping up on the bar and other such things.
Well, I was actually at another band's show, and everybody was kind of moshing. And I bit all the way through my tongue.
Come on!
Yeah, I bit all the way through my tongue, like in the middle, and there was like blood pouring out of my mouth. And I just like kept moshing, and like I was standing in the front row, and the band that was playing got so freaked out they stopped playing, and everyone was looking at me. I was like, that's a good reaction. I think I'll use that. So that's kind of that whole like
thing. And so every night since then, he has done that, ladies and gentlemen, and Matt will tonight.
I have a permanent hole in my tongue right
now. Exactly. There's a great shot of you jumping out into the audience, and your hair is flying, and you know your legs are flying, and you're jumping out and landing in the audience. That experience is just, to me, it's a wonderful tribal thing, but what is it to you? Because I like to mosh. I like to get into a mosh pit. And even at my advanced age, I've crowd surfed. I crowd surfed at a Slayer show about a year ago. I'm not kidding. You're looking at me. Brad's going, what? That old dude is doing that? Whoa.
No, I just, to even mosh or crowd surf at a Slayer show is mad respect.
Because all our staff, our music director, who's a real metal guy, he said, I'm going to bet with you. I'll go to a Grateful Dead oriented show if you come to a super heavy metal show. I go, you're on. So I went to the Slayer show, and he goes, don't go near the pit. And I go, I'm going right in the effing pit right now. And I took a tape recorder, and on these like guys that look like they could kill you. We're going, what? Pierre! And then they're passing me around. This guy goes, you want to go up? And I go, F yeah, I want to go up. And up I went and crowd surfed. And then the kids from the station were going, I can't believe he's doing that. And somebody said, why did you act your age? And I go, why? And why should I?
Yeah, what does that mean?
But I took this guy, this rabbi, who's our music director, to a Grateful Dead-oriented show, and then he put on a tie-dye, and he twirled around and had the peace and love experience all flowing through. So it was a great thing. Yeah. At any rate, do you find it a tribal experience? Like, is it a bonding experience to do something like that?
For me, it's just nervous energy, really. Huh. but I guess so. I guess you have that kind of a feeling.
Huh. Do you get nervous before you go on stage still?
No, like anxious.
Okay. We're speaking with Cage the Elephant. If you're just joining us, they're at the Mann Music Center this evening. The new album is Tell Me I'm Pretty, and there's so many great songs on it. We've liked a number of them, but would you do another one for us?
Yes, this is Mess Around.
She don't mess around.
No, she don't mess around. The heat is rising and only getting hotter, ready to blow. I think I'll pour myself a glass of water, let it flow. She'll show you what she's made of. Yeah, she's coming for you. She's gonna try to break you. Yeah, she's coming for you. No, she don't mess around. No, she don't mess around. She don't mess around. No, she don't mess around.
Ah, oh no. Ah, oh no. Ah, oh no.
No, she don't mess around. No, she don't mess around. No, she don't mess around.
WMMR Cage the Elephant from the Tell Me I'm Pretty album, a live version of Mess Around. The record itself, who is the lady on the cover?
I think her name's Rachel.
Okay. But, how did you select her? Why is she there?
Well, we came up with a concept for the album cover, and we were just looking for somebody who looked like maybe they'd experienced some life and that it wasn't going to be a show for them.
Hmm. It's a really lovely photo. It almost looks like it's a black and white photo that's been...
it is.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's
we
been
colored. We found this
photographer colored.
From Russia who takes these really incredible, like, moody pictures, and she shot it in black and white. And
do you know the girl?
I don't.
Have you met her?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But it was kind of weird, though, because when I met her, we were doing the shoot, and we didn't want her to, like... kind of, like, aim... She was really aiming to please, and we didn't want to capture that. So, like... we were very cold to her during the whole shoot, so that she, but it was kind of cruel, but it worked out. So
this band is really, it's a bunch of jerks, these guys.
Yeah, totally.
The inside shot is a great shot of you guys at the ocean, a black and white shot. Where is that?
That's Rockaway Beach, isn't it? In New York, yeah.
Yeah. Fan of the Ramones?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Who could not be?
Yeah.
Who could not be? All power, all worship, all glory to the Ramones. Before we let you go, we're going to play from the album Trouble. But there was a video, I think you just recently got done filming it, and you directed it, Matt.
Yeah.
And this quote I read about it, and I just was watching it. There are, like, shootouts and exploding clowns and powdered wigs, and and this guy kills this guy, and then he mourns the fact that he kills this guy. He seems like he wants to kill him, and then he's so sad that he killed him, and then the guy's and it's a fascinating video and very spacey and psychedelic. But your quote is, we really wanted to make a video that was like John Wayne or a young Clint Eastwood acting in a Cocteau play or Ingmar Bergman's Wild Strawberries, but it's entirely possible they did some peyote while they were out there in the desert too. The video, just give me a little what you were thinking in terms of the video, because you directed it.
Well, Wild Strawberries, there's this dream sequence scene in that film that's super symbolic. And so the idea was just to make a video that was really symbolic of, like, the struggle that the song's about. So it's a young man who's struggling with the image of his father and, you know, maybe an estranged relationship, but afraid of becoming his father. And so the rest of the... anyways, I'm not doing good here. So
no, that's good. You really have to see it, and I highly recommend fans of Cage to see it. Before we let you go, though, the last time you were here, you were in this studio with our morning show, Preston and Steve, and you played some songs for us. And afterwards, as we like to do, we ask a band if they're willing to step into our auxiliary studio and cut a few station IDs, and you've done 18 billion of them in your relatively young life as a band, and you'll do 18 billion more as you continue throughout life, and 25 billion more photographs with different people. But we actually saved this because most fans just hear, most radio listeners just hear, hi, this is Cage the Elephant, and you're listening to MMR. Sometimes it doesn't happen right on the first take.
Oh, no.
And Rabbi, I think you have that set to go in here, and the guy should be able to hear it in
here. Yes,
in
this here. Is going to be awesome.
So this doesn't take too long, but let's hear Cage the Elephant on their last visit to MMR.
One, two, three, go.
Hi, this is Cage the Elephant, and you're listening to everything.
Okay, okay. Say 99.3.
Yeah, hold on.
Really 1, 2. Three.
Hi.
I'm three, dude.
I thought you guys played music.
I know. It's on the four. It's on the four, dude. Okay.
This is where their liner's going to be, actually. They're just going to cut it up.
Okay, hold on. Shut up. Ready?
1, 2.
Hi, this is Cage the Elephant, and you're listening to...
Nope.
Titch, you're going slow.
You gotta say 93.3
first.
All right.
This is
legendary.
Hi, this is Cage the Elephant, you're listening to W3...
No.
You just said everything to
you.
You said everything.
No, I didn't.
You don't say 93.
Shut up. Okay, go shut up.
And by the way, you're going like this.
It needs to be faster. It needs to be faster. It needs to be faster, dude.
Like, I thought you played music. That's like, hi, this is Cage the Elephant.
Shut up.
Walking right, on the door.
All right, come on. We got this. Let's do it fast. Yeah. Faster.
1, 2, 3. Hi, this is Cage the Elephant. You're listening to W3.
God dang it. It's everything that rocks on.
Matt, this was your idea.
We got this, god dang it. Shut up.
So, right. Hi, this is Cage the Elephant from Everything That Rocks 93.3.
No.
This is Cage the Elephant. You're just 93.3. Everything
that
rocks.
Short bus link in
series. You should be on college. Shut up. Ready?
1, 2, 3. Hi, this is Cage the Elephant. You're listening to 93.3 WMMR. Everything That Rocks.
That,
yay! That totally wasn't worth it.
That's my favorite part of it. That totally wasn't worth it.
Was amazing. Thank you.
We'll get you a copy if you so desire. Yes. Put it in the archives of Cage the Elephant for future history.
And we'll open our next record with that.
I would love that. We'd be very honored. Very nice to have you guys. I can't thank you enough. We wish you all the best and hope to see you many, many more times coming through here in Philly.
Thank you.
All the best. Let's play that song, Trouble, to close our conversation. Let's hear it for Cage the Elephant. They're at the Mann Music Center tonight. 93.3 WMMR. This is Trouble.